Hello, welcome to Locked On Sharks, the premier hockey podcast of your favorite team in the Bay Area. And on today's episode, I struggle through the weekend that was, as I have no voice and the Sharks played worse than how my voice sounds. So all that and more on today's episode of Locked On Sharks.
You're Locked On Sharks, your daily podcast on the San Jose Sharks. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
I'm your host, JD Young, contributor at Fear the Fin and San Jose Hockey Now. I want to thank you for making Locked On Sharks your first listen. We're free and available wherever you get podcasts. And of course, you can watch this on YouTube as well. And I apologize for not having this out first thing Monday morning. I went to the Dolphins-Niners game. My voice is now gone. And I got home later than I expected. So I was going to try to have an episode for you guys normal time, but still wanted to get out my weekend thoughts of what happened. You know, so a little bit later today, if you're listening to this on Tuesday, you have a nice little double episode between this episode. And then I have Haiti from Locked On NHL Prospects on, where we're going to talk about kind of some of the Sharks OHL and their Jake Furlong in the queue. And then we get into some CUDA talk and all that fun stuff. So nice little double episode if you're checking that out. So, but the Sharks this weekend, of course, they lose to the Senators by a score of 5-2, and they follow up with a Sunday performance of a loss 6-3 to the Buffalo Sabres, and starting to see the cracks of this team continue to form as they just don't have. We know this team is a little bit more offensive than we expected, but the goaltending that was there at least the beginning of last year and the defensive effort just aren't there for them to be able to keep up with high-powered offenses. And we saw that with the Sens, and then we saw that with the Sabres. And the penalty kill, which was bailing them out for much of the season so for this year, again, starting to show those cracks of you can't continually rely on your penalty kill to bail you out every game. And this is becoming more of an issue, right? As great as the Sharks' penalty kill has been, at some point, they're not going to continue to be a 90-92% penalty kill. And we saw that this weekend with the Sabres game. They gave up, you know, three power play goals to the Sens, I'm sorry. And then they followed that up on the Sabres game, and they give up, you know, a couple power play goals to the Sabres. And these are very good power play teams. And as the Sharks continue to play these good, high-quality teams, I know the Sabres and the Sens, that they're working their way through things right now. And, you know, they have a lot of young pieces. But as you play the Vegases of the world and, you know, the Kings and all those other, you know, the Kraken, we saw what happened when the Sharks played the Kraken last week or a couple weeks ago, where you play these good teams that have high-powered offenses or and very, very good penalty or power plays, you're not going to be able to shut those guys down forever. And especially as the Sharks move pieces out, you know, Matt Nieto's, Nick Benito's, et cetera, those type of guys, you can't rely on this penalty kill to bail you out of every situation. And we're seeing that start to happen now where, yes, the Sharks' penalty kill in November was amazing, but to expect them to continue at that same pace, it's just not reasonable. It's not fair to them, and it's not fair to these players to expect them to continue that same type of pace all season long. So, you know, this weekend was seeing the flaws in the penalty kill and then seeing the goaltending, which is, you know, Arundel had a great game against the Leafs, and then, you know, just you're not going to expect Arundel to continue to perform at that level. And, you know, the Sabres have a very good offense. And I talked about on the preview show on Friday of how they can score in bunches. And we saw that happen, you know, on Sunday as well, especially like that third period, right, where it was, you know, you had the Quinn goal. I know then Lindblom responded, but then Oxnard got the empty netter in the second period, right? Paterka to start the game and start the second period. And then Jeff Skinner a couple minutes later, right? And then Jack Quinn on the power play in the second period. And that was all it took for the Sharks. They just, they don't have the guys or the depth to be able to continually score four or five goals a night to try to win games. So, you know, again, with the Sharks team, as we'll get into each game, but it's just last year, the Sharks, they got goaltending, especially the beginning of the season, and things, you know, fell apart, kind of started around this time last year too, right? The goaltending, you know, asking Reiber to kind of bail you out. Aiden Hill was a good, had a good start for the Sharks. And then around Christmas time, I know we had the Cuda Sharks last year were dealing with COVID issues, but we start to see kind of this time right after Thanksgiving, right, going into Christmas, that Christmas break where the cracks in the foundation are starting to show for the Sharks. And, you know, this team is headed towards being, you know, they've lost what, 8 out of their last 10, right? This team is headed towards being one of those bottom five teams in the NHL. And I think the sooner that they realize that, and the sooner we can all get on with our lives and start enjoying the future and looking towards a draft class and start talking about trades and all that fun stuff. But yes, tough weekend for the Sharks. They're going to head home. The schedule kind of lightens up here a little bit. There are not as many back-to-backs, and you know, they're going to, they play on Wednesday and then they play on Friday. And then like next week they have two games as well. So we're see their schedule start to lighten up here a little bit and play some a little bit softer teams. But again, you went on the road and you lost 3 out of 4 against some, I mean, the Maple Leafs are very good, right? The Canadians are kind of right around where the Sharks are, and the Sens and the Sabres are, and the Sabres are much better, but the Sens are kind of right where the Sharks are as well. So yes, tough weekend for the Sharks. You know, like I said, hopefully we can start to move ahead, look ahead to what the actual future and where this team is actually headed. So before we look back on the Sens game, do want to take a quick break and let you guys know about our friends over at Athletic Greens. So if you guys want to take care of your gut health, you want to have more energy, more a better immune system, but you don't like taking a bunch of pills, that's where Athletic Greens can come in. They have, with one scoop of their AG1 powder, you're absorbing 75 high-quality vitamins, minerals, whole foods, source superfoods, probiotics, and adaptogens. Help you start your day right. They have a special blend of ingredients that supports your gut health, your nervous system, your immune system, your energy, recovery, and focus, aging, everything under the sun. Great thing about it, it's less than $3 a day, and you're investing in your health, and it's cheaper than a cold brew habit. It's cheaper than going to the store and trying to buy all these pills all at once. Get all-in-one nutritional insurance. First thing you do in the morning, boom, water, shake it up, drink it, and you are good to go. So they're making it really, really easy for you right now. Go to athleticgreens.com/NHL Network. You're going to get one free year of immune supporting vitamin D and 5 free travel packs, especially this time of year. You're traveling, you don't have to bring the whole thing. These little travel packs makes it easy for you. So again, visit athleticgreens.com/NHL Network. Again, athleticgreens.com/NHL Network to take ownership over your health and pick up the ultimate daily nutritional insurance. Okay. Need a drink here. So, Sharks Sens Saturday night game. Sharks, I did say Hurdle was going to have his two goals come out really big, you know, to kind of after the performance he had against the Leafs. He felt like he lost the games for the Sharks with that bad turnover. What does Hurdle do? He comes out and he scores two goals in the first period. But then the Sharks just couldn't really muster anything else up after that. You know, the Matt Benning terrible pass that led to the Claude Giroux goal that tied up the game. And then from there, it was just kind of an avalanche for the Sens as they kind of took possession of this game. So, you know, when like looking at the shot count and everything like that, you could just kind of see as the Sharks, you know, just kind of fell behind. And even in the third period, the Sens just continually added to that shot count. So, you know, 5-on-5, the Sens dominated the shot count. Shot attempts was 53-35 in favor of the Sens. And this is just at 5-on-5 in a little over 44 minutes there. Actual shots was 20-23 in favor of the Sens. Scoring chances was 19-16 in favor of the Sens. High danger chances was 6-4 in favor of the Sharks. So we know the Sharks, that's how they like to play. They may not get as many scoring chances, but they do get those, you know, or as many shots, but they do get those quality chances with those high danger chances. And, you know, the Sharks did do that pretty well. But, you know, looking at the actual Sharks lines, so the LeBanc Hurdle Meyer line, which has been kind of feasting on teams all year, 12-12 time on ice, outshot nine or shot attempts was 9-13 in favor of the Sens. Actual shots was 6-8. Got a goal, but also gave up a goal as well. Had four scoring chances, did give up four, two high danger chances to one. So seven neutral zone. They didn't really get a lot of offensive zone starts in this game. No line got more than two. And we also saw Nieto, Couture, and Barabanov. They played 7:45, eight shot attempts, 4-16 allowed. Actual shots was 5-4. And then that line did produce one high danger, didn't give up any. And then kind of the same thing, 2, 3, and 4 for the zone starts. Nick Bonito line. So we've seen this Nick Bonito line kind of get their lunch taken from them recently, and it continued. Noah Gregor, Nick Bonito, Luke Cunningham, 8:40 time on ice at 5-on-5, five shot attempts, gave up 17. Actual shots on goal was 3-8 in favor of the Sens. Scoring chances 3-5 in favor of the Sens. High danger 2-3 in favor of the Sens. One offensive zone, six neutral zones, six defenses. I know they got the bulk of the defensive zone starts, but we've seen Couture's line be able to kind of mitigate that. The Bonino line is, you know, is the faster Nick Sturm can get, Nico Sturm, sorry, can get back, the better. You know, this line has not been super great. Lindblom, Lawrence, Gadovich, 6:25, seven shot attempts, 4-5 allowed. Actual shots was 6-3, so at least their shot attempts were solid there. One high danger chance, three scoring chances for that line, and then 1-1-2. So, you know, that third line continues to kind of be an issue for the Sharks as they're, you know, especially if your Hurdle, Meyer, Couture line is kind of getting worked. And that third line is been an issue for the Sharks for a while now. And I think as soon as Nico Sturm could get back and help kind of turn, you know, solidify that line, and that way you can do something else with Nick Bonino, whether it's the fourth line or trade him, but you know, that third line has continues to be an issue. And that's where teams that can play a solid third line or solid middle six, that's where they've been taking advantage of the Sharks. And, you know, I know that line didn't really give up anything goal-wise, but you're setting yourself up to fail if you're having to play your entire shift in the defensive zone And then the next guys that have come out and try to work themselves out of that. And that's what's happening when you give up 17 shot attempts. You know, the Sens aren't just going to take shots just to take shots from wherever on the ice. They're going to take shots when they have good chances. And that's a tough look for that third line. And you wonder, especially with the way Bortolo is playing in the AHL now, he's up to 11 goals this year. He's been playing much, much better. You know, as of like the past couple of weeks, those guys are knocking on the door here. And I know, like I said, I know Nico Sturm's been out and with dealing with a concussion. At some point, you're going to have to do something if you're David Quinn to try to figure something out, right? You can't just we fixed the having the one line problem, right? At first it was just a hurdle line that could do anything. Okay, now we got two competent lines, right? The Couture line has been playing much, much better since Barabanov got added to that line, and Matt Nieto's making the most of his opportunities, right? Okay, how long until the third line? You got to do something there with that. So before we do get into the Sabres game, talk about what happened in that, look at some of the numbers in there. Let's take a quick break. Talk to you guys about our friends over at Bet Online. You guys know Bet Online is your number one source for sports betting info, stats, news, and analysis. Get all the latest odds and trends for every professional and amateur league out there. From football to basketball to soccer, esports, they've got you covered at betonline.net. If you love sports podcasts, you can find those at BetOnline as well. The fastest and easiest way to get your betting fix in. So head to their website today or use your mobile device to learn more. BetOnline, where the game starts. More drink. Sorry, guys. I'm powering through this as best I can. All right. Shark Sabres. We'll start with the positives. Oscar Lindblom, Nick Bonino, welcome to the score sheet. It just took, game 27 or whatever to get on the score sheet. But I know for both those guys, it must be super frustrating to kind of keep kind of grinding and grinding and grinding, and you're just not able to get on the score sheet. And we saw last year with Bonino, kind of once he scored, like how it really opened things up for him. You know, and he ended the season really, really strong with, I think he had 5 goals in the last 8 games or whatever it was. So we know Bonino can get hot, but, you know, Lindblom too, finally kind of getting the monkey off his back and scoring there. I know the game was pretty much out of hand by the time he did score, but has to feel good for these guys to actually get some scoring going. But this game for the Sharks, they just got... Yeah. It was actually, I guess, pretty close. But the penalty kill kind of what did it in for the Sharks, right? You know, looking at the Corsi numbers at 5-on-5 was pretty even, but all situations that power play for the Sabres, which is a very, very good unit because they have a lot of young, talented players. But they did a great job of taking advantage of the opportunities that they had, you know, in that game. And then the Sharks just, again, we can't continually ask them to on this penalty kill. Like I said before, you can't just keep giving the teams opportunities. And that's what happened, right? You know, the Sabres were 2-for-4 on their power play, and I know the Sharks were 1-for-1, but and people are like, well, why didn't the Sharks get more power play? You're not going to draw power play opportunities in your defensive zone. Most of the time you have to draw those by working in the offensive zone and getting those opportunities, right? Controlling the puck, that's what leads to more power play opportunities. So, but for the Sharks in this game, so shot attempts at 5-on-5, 48-39, so actually was a little bit closer than the Sens game. You know, actual shots was 31-26 in favor of the Sens. This is, again, all 5-on-5. Scoring chances of 34-22. Sabres, even in the third period when they were up, still laying it on the Sharks. high danger chances, 13 to 11 in favor of the Sabres. Expected goals for 3.35 to 1.87. So the Sabres quantity and quality handshake right there. So as for the Sharks line, forward line, so we saw a little bit of change-ups here in this game, especially as trying to kind of generate some more offense. Nieto, Couture, Barabanov, 9 shot attempts to 8, so good for them. Actual shots, that was 4-7. So, right there. Did give up a goal. They produced 7 scoring chances to 8, 4 high danger chances, 4 and allowed. And then 5 offensive zone, 6 neutral zone, 2 defensive zone. I know the lines got kind of a little wonky here too, as Quinn was trying to generate some offense, but we'll just look at kind of how guys spent most of their time. Svechnikov, Bonino, Cunningham played 909 time on ice, 6 shot attempts, 4-9 given up. Gregor, it was a healthy scratch, but he did get hit in the hand in the Sens game as well too. So 4 shot attempts, gave up 7 actual, 1 did score a goal, but gave up a goal as well. Scoring chances were 3-6 in favor of the Sabres, 2-2 high danger chances. And then 3-1 and 4 defensives in start. So LeBanc, Hurdle, and Meyer, 8:49 time on ice. I know Meyer got shuffled down at one point as well too. 6 shot attempts, gave up 8. Actual shots was 5-5. And 1 high danger chance, gave up 3. Gave 3 scoring chances, gave up 6. And again, this, especially this, the top of the Sabres, Tage Thompson line is ridiculously good, right? That second line with JJ Paterka, really good. And just the Sharks just right now, unfortunately, don't have the guys to kind of play with those. So Lindblom, Lawrence, Gadovich, 6:24, 4 shot attempts, 4, gave up 5. Actual shots was just 2-1 in their favor, so that's good. Scoring chances 1-3, 0-3 in high danger chances. So Svechnikov to get some run with the Hurdle line, didn't really do much. And then Lindblom, Lawrence, Barabanov got a little bit of run too, had 2 shot attempts. So, you know, again, defense isn't, the defense is what it is, right? The goaltending, we know with Reimer, who had a little bit of a setback, so we're not even sure when he's going to be available yet. It does sound like Ferraro should be kind of working his way back, and he's gone from week to week to now day to day. So I wouldn't be surprised if we see him at some point this week. Maybe not against the Canucks on Wednesday, but maybe the Ducks game on Friday gives him, you know, kind of another week to get ready. So he's been back kind of skating it and back, getting back together. So we'll see how they go with Dell, with if they keep Dell up or if they're going to have to send him back if Reimer's available. But with a setback, it sounds like you have some time here, right? You've got a game on Wednesday, a game on a Friday, then you have a game on Tuesday after that, then it's like not till Saturday. So you have kind of a little bit more time between games right now. So see if Reimer can get back to being James Reimer without having to rush him. So, you know, tough weekend for the Sharks. They're hell now, where they've been playing even worse than they have on the road. So, like I said, Canucks game on Wednesday, Ducks game on Friday. So we'll get you guys ready for those games. Probably a little bit shorter episode right now, so I can, because my voice is starting to go even worse. So make sure you guys are checking out the Locked On Sports Today podcast. So they've got you covered with some of the, all the biggest stories in sports. You know, you got the MLB hot stove, right? You got big signings. Hopefully we get the Aaron Judge to the Giants soon. Please, Judge, please come home. They've got you covered that. They got you covered as NFL playoff races are heating up. So make sure you guys go check out the Locked On Sports Today podcast, wherever you get podcasts. And of course on YouTube as well. I'm on Twitter at @MyFryHole. You follow the show on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram at Locked On Sharks. You can listen wherever you get podcasts, Apple, Spotify, Amazon Music, Odyssey, all those places. Watch on YouTube. Be back tomorrow with I did interview this weekend with Haiti from the Locked On NHL Prospects. So if you guys haven't checked out the Locked On NHL Prospects, I'm sure you guys have become bigger fans of prospects since listening to Locked On Sharks, because we just have the future to talk about. So I have him on tomorrow, so make sure you guys check that out. And we'll get you guys ready for that Canucks game on Wednesday. And until then, bye, friends.